Israel plans to erect a 250-kilometer wall on Egypt's border. A power struggle intensifies in Ra's al Khaimah after the death of the UAE Emirates ruler. The toll from two separate U.S. drone attacks in northwest Pakistan goes up to 8. And in Indonesia, the death toll from twin disasters continues to rise.
It is 4 p.m. in Berkeley, California, and 1 a.m. in Cairo, Egypt. This is Press TV's World News.
Many thanks for joining us. Israel says it will start building a huge barrier along the Egypt border within weeks. Israeli officials claim the 250-kilometer long wall is to deny African migrants entry to Israel. The plan was approved back in January. Advanced surveillance is expected to be mounted on the planned wall. Egyptian officials earlier said they have no objection to the plan, for as long as the wall does not infringe the Egyptian side of the border. Egypt started building an underground steel barrier on its border with the Gaza Strip last December. Now, tunnels between Egypt and Gaza have been the only route for the Palestinians to get basic supplies to Gaza since Israel imposed an embargo on the coastal strip in 2007. To discuss this one a little bit further, Mr. Ralph Shahnman, author of Hidden Story of Zionism, is joining us live from Berkeley. Many thanks, Mr. Shahnman, as always, for joining us. Benjamin Netanyahu says the problem of illegal infiltrators in the south presents a threat to the Jewish and democratic character of Israel. Is that really so if we have Mr. Shahnman? Well, it seems we don't have Mr. Shahnman, so we're going to continue with our stories now. And to the next story, as soon as we have Mr. Shahnman, we're going to be talking to him about this issue.
Indeed, Arash, we're going to go on to Turkey now, where a rights group has denounced the Israeli prime minister's praise of naval commandos for their deadly attack on a Gaza-bound aid flotilla in late May. The head of the Foundation of Humanitarian Relief, or IHH, has said killing innocent and defenseless people is not heroic. On Tuesday, Netanyahu praised the troops for their action to halt the fleet headed by the Turkish ship Mavi Marmara. The ship was owned by the charity group IHH. 9 Turkish activists aboard the vessel were killed and scores injured. The deadly attack triggered international outrage and condemnation. The aid ships were attempting to deliver vital humanitarian supplies to the people of Gaza.
These are people who are infected with a way of thinking where they see themselves as basically endowed to do whatever they want to the other, executing incredible violence. Israelis were there to execute people, to make an example of them in front of the entire world, in the interest of saying, you will not view the Palestinians as human beings. That is the main goal here.
Well, let's go back to the earlier stories of Israeli walls. Like I said, Mr. Ralph Shahnman is joining us. He is the writer or the author of the book Hidden Story of Zionism. Mr. Shahnman, as always, it's very good to have you with us. Like I said the first time, Benjamin Netanyahu says the problem of illegal infiltrators in the south presents a threat to the Jewish and democratic character of Israel. That's what he says. Is that really so, or other concerns?
Well, I mean, that was the pretext last January when they announced the construction of this 266-kilometer wall. It's part of the process of essentially locking the Palestinians into a contemporary variation on the Warsaw Ghetto. It's the Nazi program, the Nazi plan for isolating and containing and subjecting and exploiting a subject population. With respect to the claims that this is going to preserve the Jewish and democratic character of the state, that is a contradiction in terms. A colonial settler state which denies all rights to the inhabitants, the original indigenous inhabitants of the country, can hardly be called democratic. In fact, it makes the apartheid regime look benign in comparison. This 266-kilometer wall, by the way, is complemented by a steel wall that the Egyptian regime has constructed, and the basic intent is to cut off the Palestinian people in Gaza from essential supplies. By that I mean food and medication and the wherewithal for maintaining themselves in the face of a siege, a blockade which is a continuous siege. That wall is part of the subjugation of people. It has nothing to do with democratic rights of anybody. And as for, again, I insist, when we talk about a state in which rights depend upon proving Jewish maternal descent for at least four generations on the basis of the laws of the Jewish National Fund adopted by the State of Israel, we are not talking about a democracy. We're talking about the antithesis of democratic rights.
Okay, Mr. Shonman, Civil Rights Association Israel and the Hotline for Migrant Workers has criticized Netanyahu's proposal, saying Israel that has been set up by refugees cannot turn its back to refugees of war who seek asylum in Israel. I want to get your comments on that too, please.
Well, I would like to say, first of all, that the Zionist state was not set up by refugees. The Zionist state was created by a colonial settler movement with the support of every retrograde imperial power of the time, from the Tsar of Russia to the British Crown to the French Imperium to the Kaiser, and in fact to the regime of Mussolini and of Adolf Hitler himself. The Nazi regime was a supporter of the Zionist enterprise, and the Zionists brought Baron von Mildenstein, the head of the SS, to Palestine, and Adolf Eichmann to Palestine in the 1930s. This is not a refuge for victims of persecution in Europe. This is a colonial enterprise designed to subjugate the Palestinian people, to facilitate imperial exploitation of the entire Middle East by creating shock troops on behalf of the Imperium. The refugees who are in Israel are in fact entrapped within a colonial settler regime that pits the aspirations of hundreds of millions of people against the colonial enterprise and the Jewish inhabitants who have gone there as refugees, if you like, or who have been brought there, are entrapped within an enterprise that exploits them and pits them against, as I say, the interests of the many, many millions, permanent war, permanent insecurity. That's the legacy of Zionist subjugation of the indigenous people of Palestine and its constant aggressive movements and wars against the peoples of the region. The project of the Zionist state is to fragment each Middle Eastern country into its ethnic and religious components to facilitate imperial subjugation and exploitation of resources. That's the project from its inception in the 1890s. The wall is a little continuation of that genocidal intent.
Well, there is a timing issue to that as well, Mr. Shonman. The plan for this wall has coincided with the end of Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak's tenure. How's that issue, do you think, or is there a possibility that issue is playing a role here?
Well, there is, of course, a relationship between the completion of this wall and the completion of the term of Mubarak, who was both ailing in health and a military dictator. The largest recipient of U.S. imperial aid after the Israeli state in the world. These are regimes joined like the lips to the teeth, the Mubarak regime in Egypt, and the crisis of Egyptian society is that the fellahin are selling their kidneys for coin. There's enormous pauperization and exploitation of the people of Egypt. The regime is a subaltern of U.S. imperialism, a collaborator with the Zionist subjugation of the Palestinian people. The Egyptian people are no less immiserated and exploited and subjugated, and that regime is under siege from its own population. And the frailty of Mubarak is the frailty of the Egyptian dictatorship at large and of the imperial project not only for Egypt but for the region at large as well.
Ralph Shonman, author of Hidden Story of Zionism All the Way, live from Berkeley. Thanks for joining us.
Well, in other news, a new power struggle is in the making in a UAE emir. Two sons of Saqr bin Muhammad al-Qasimi, the ruler of Ras al-Khaimah, are claiming the kingship only hours after his death.
Sheikh Khalid, the elder son of the former king, has declared himself ruler, saying he's the real successor. This after his half-brother, Crown Prince Sheikh Saud, was appointed as the new king.
I am the real Crown Prince of Ras Al Khaimah, according to the decree issued by His Highness my father when he corrected the post, and to assure them that I am coming to Ras Al Khaimah.
Khalid was Crown Prince until 2003 when he was deposed by Sheikh Saud. He left the tiny Persian Gulf Emirate soon after his ouster. Reports say the late king had issued a decree in February 2004 for his return as Crown Prince. 67-year-old Khalid says he will take over the reign of Ras Al Khaimah through legal means. He says he will meet with his family and members of the Supreme Council to discuss the course of action. Khalid has also vowed to cross the border from Sharjah. His attempt is likely to be prevented by his brother. Many suspect Sheikh Saud might call upon federal troops or local police. Meanwhile, the deposed prince says he won't allow the constitution to be violated.
أخلصنا فيها ضمائرنا وواجبنا في بناء هذه الدولة منذ تأسيسها ولم نل جهدا في المحافظة على رفعة شأنها وصيانتها من يد العبث بدستورها وأمنها وأرضها ومواطنيها لكن ما حدث من ملابسات التغيير في ولاية العهد اكتنفها الكثير من الغموض.
Ras Al Khaimah is under absolute monarchy. The emirate lacks political reforms, with people having no voting rights. The rule is based on heredity, a problem prevalent in most Persian Gulf Arab states. The UAE Federal Supreme Council has already expressed support for Sheikh Saud. Abu Dhabi, which calls most of the shots in the UAE, may go otherwise, as it has signed off on federal troops supporting the current ruler of Ras Al Khaimah.
Moving on with other news now to non-UN sanctioned drone attacks. Have killed at least 8 people in northwestern Pakistan. In the latest attack, an unmanned U.S. plane fired a missile at a vehicle, killing 3 people. In an earlier attack, a drone fired 2 missiles at a house, killing 5 people. Both incidents happened in the North Waziristan Agency. The attacks by U.S. unmanned planes have increased since the U.S. President Barack Obama took office in 2009. Washington claims its drones target Pakistani militants who cross the border into Afghanistan to help the Taliban militancy against U.S.-led foreign forces there. However, official figures show many of those killed in such airstrikes are civilians. Islamabad has repeatedly condemned the U.S. air attacks, calling for an end to them.
Amnesty International has called on Pakistan to investigate the alleged torture and killing of more than 40 Baloch leaders and activists over the past 4 months. Amnesty has accused Pakistani military of playing a role in the incidents. The report also accuses the Pakistani government of failing to prevent widespread abuses committed against Baloch leaders. Amnesty says the abduction and killing of the activists has led to reprisal killings by Baloch armed groups. Hundreds of people have died since the Baloch revolt in 2004. The rebels demand political autonomy and a greater share of profit from the region's wealth of oil, gas, and mineral resources.
It's getting close to 2:44 a.m. in Tehran, and a reminder of this hour's top stories for you. Israel, like we've been discussing, plans to erect a 250-kilometer wall on Egypt's border. A power struggle intensifies in Ras Al Khaimah after the death of the UAE Emirates ruler. The toll from 2 separate U.S. drone attacks in northwest Pakistan goes up to 8. And these are scenes captured in Indonesia. The death toll from twin disasters there continues to rise.